You are listening to a sermon by Gary Jansen, recorded on Sunday, August 14th, 2022, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Okay. Thank you so much, Evan, for every time I get to speak to one of our Mennonite Church BC congregations, that you are one of, now we're 26, you are one of our 26 congregations and a very valued member of this family of congregations. And we have quite a diverse family of congregations that bring all kinds of interests and gifts and perspectives. And somehow we've been able to hold these folks together, and we hope we can continue to do that. These are some of the challenges and opportunities that are part of our world is even holding a denomination together, if that's important. And I think there's some reasons to say that it is. But you're an important part of this family, and we thank you for this partnership. We also give thanks to God for our good journey together. And it's always good to be with you. And I would just like to say that we are better together. So today's theme is Indigenous reconciliation, and I just think you probably wonder why I'd be asked to speak on that. Well, I wonder that probably more than you do, but I've had the privilege of walking alongside of many expressions of Indigenous reconciliation over many years, including being on the organizing team that put together the Truth and Reconciliation gathering in Vancouver in 2013. I got to sit with Justice Murray Sinclair and many others who were on the planning and organizing of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I also cherish and value the Mennonite story of reconciliation, and as Palmer Becker has written in his little booklet, which became a larger book, that reconciliation is the center of our work. And that statement has been said in many ways, in different ways in the Anabaptist story, using different language like witness or evangelism or different language to sort of say that our work is with reconciling people to each other and to God, and our work is with the reconciliation of creation, and all of these aspects. And I think those are all caught up in this one statement that reconciliation is the center of our work. Yet how do we reconcile the hope of a loving God with the pain of our sinful and hurting world? In Mennonite Church BC back in 2007, we put together a covenant. Some of you may remember a large celebration in Abbotsford where we re-covenanted together, and all the leaders of the churches signed this new covenant. And right at the beginning, the very first statement on this covenant is, in fact, this passage from 2 Corinthians 5. I think it's verses 17 through 19, saying this as a central piece of who we are, that we are at least attempting to be, and following God's call, to be ambassadors of reconciliation. The big question that goes with that then is how? How are we ambassadors of reconciliation? How do we do this? And the pain and suffering of our Indigenous neighbors is at the front of our thoughts as we enter this conversation, especially as a result of the Indian residential schools and the generations of pain, and now the generations of coming out of that pain, and the generations that it will take for hope to return and to be part of their story as the leading edge of their story. So in the midst of a world that has much turmoil, heartache, and sin, we are the church, and we are here to participate in God's work of reconciliation. I just want to focus on the verses from 17 through 20, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20, Paul's words to the Corinthians about the ministry of reconciliation. There's different English translations that will say it differently. So the NRSV, which we read today, says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The TNIV, which is the translation I usually go with, today's NIV, the new creation has come. But the word that goes before that statement in the NRSV says, so. So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. And in the TNIV, therefore, the new creation has come. If we went back a couple of verses, we find exactly what the word so or the word therefore is in reference to. Verses 14 and 15, the beginning of verse 14 and then what falls into 15, it is the consequence of Jesus' compelling love. This is the consequence of Jesus' compelling love. A new order or a new covenant has been put in place, a new heart, a new ability to love God and others, a new capacity to participate in the inbreaking of God's kingdom on this earth, and a fundamental shift from serving self to serving others. Paul was changed. His perspective on Jesus was changed. His perspective on people in general was changed, and his perspective as a Christian in particular was changed. He became a Christian, and his perspective on his response to the Christians changed from trying to stop the movement to leading the movement. Paul recognizes that he no longer knows Christ according to the flesh, which implies, according to the Believer's Church Bible commentary on this, on 2 Corinthians, which implies that he now knows Christ by the insight of the Spirit. His whole understanding of the Messiah has now changed since his encounter with the resurrected Christ. Previously, he only knew the crucified Jesus. Now he has met the resurrected Jesus. And what follows in 5 verse 17 to the end of the chapter is a call to incorporate the work of God into the changes of life. Since Paul's conversion, he sees everything through the new lens that he has been given in Christ. And Paul's reconciliation to God gives him a whole new way of viewing everything. Paul introduces a new way of understanding the mystery of being redeemed in Christ. It is a work of reconciliation. A relationship broken by long-standing dislike and hatred toward each other is restored. I'm just going to share now. I'm going to try and lean into some of the good things that I've learned along the way. Not being a sort of expert in Indigenous reconciliation, but being one who has access to good resources for Indigenous reconciliation. So the first one, which you probably might guess, is the statement, and I hope you can all see this, on the right-hand column, is the statement of the 94 calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The call to action in 48 is particular to the churches. And it's interesting because it starts off by saying settlement agreement parties and the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. So we think, okay, right, these churches, the settlement churches, were the ones that had the residential schools and they were part of that. But then it right away says, and all other faith groups. So whether we see ourselves as part of this settlement agreement parties, the ones who participated in the residential schools or not, as our involvement as Mennonite Church was more with the day schools and there were some residential aspects, but not so directly in the residential schools that were run in collaboration with the Government of Canada. But we are part of this. We're definitely part of this. And so it says, we call upon the church parties to the settlement agreement and all other faith groups and interfaith social justice groups in Canada who have not already done so to formally adopt and comply with principles, norms, and standards of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples as a framework for reconciliation. This would include but not be limited to the following commitments. I'll just read through these quickly here. Number one, ensuring that their institutions, policies, programs, and practices comply with UNDRIP, respecting Indigenous people's right to self-determination in spiritual matter, including the right to practice, develop, and teach their own spiritual and religious traditions, customs, and ceremonies consistent with Article 12.1 of UNDRIP. engaging in in ongoing public dialogue and actions to support the United to support UNDRIP, and number four, issuing a statement no later than March 31st, 2016, from all religious denominations and faith groups as to how they will implement UNDRIP. So clearly the date of 2016 has been missed by many of us in doing something significant that way, but some of us, you know, have at least been working at it. And I think as Mennonite Church, we have been working at it. I'm just going to stop sharing for a moment here. And so in our working at it, we have tried various aspects, including having the forming the Indigenous Relations Task Group that we've had in MCBC now for the last number of years. I think it's probably since 2019. But we could back up even before we had this task group, and that our first Indigenous Relations staff person was initially Steve Heinrichs, who started probably in, I think, maybe 2010 or something like that. And he was quickly taken by Mennonite Church Canada as their Indigenous Relations staff person. And but Steve helped us find Brander McDonald. And Brander McDonald was our Indigenous Relations staff person for MCBC from 2011 till, I think, something like 2018. And I want to just, I just want to share some things that Brander put together for us. And I'm just going to share that now. And it's a document that we really haven't implemented. I mean, we haven't put into use very much. I think some churches might have used some of it. But it's a document that says, it's called Assessing Our Engagement Level. And I sent this to Rosie and a couple of others, I think maybe Rosie and Evan, just as reference. And it was written in 2015. And there are 33 sort of test questions as to how we might be doing on our Indigenous relations commitment, Indigenous reconciliation commitment. And it was really, really helpful. I just read through it last week in preparation for this talk. And so initially it talks about, at the end of the first paragraph there, that talks about three levels of engagement. Number one is talking about, number two is talking with, and number three is walking with. And I just want to highlight a couple of these. There are 33 in total, so I'm just going to highlight a few of these from each section to just help us think about how are we doing as individuals, and for you as Point Grey as a congregation, and for us as MCBC, as the family of churches that we belong to. I'm just going to start in the one talking about, which is an invitation to engagement by acquiring knowledge, resources, and sources. So number one says, I have need or desire to pursue relational engagement with regards to issues of Indigenous relations. Where do you stand on that? Is it strongly agree or strongly disagree or something in between? Do we actually desire and have need? I think the word need is vital here as we think about this question, that it's actually an important piece of our existence is to learn more and to engage more in this journey. But to ask ourselves that, really, are we even at this place? And secondly, I am confident in my understanding how to move through the fears and or blocks to my engaging with Indigenous relations and peoples. I mean, it's just, do we agree or do we disagree? I mean, for me personally, as I live in Ladner, I'm on the traditional territory of the Tsawwassen First Nation. How do I, you know, build relationships? I have one person who's an elder with Tsawwassen First Nation, Ruth Adams, who I know fairly well. Do I nurture that relationship? Do I go further? You know, and what are my fears? What are the things that block me from engaging? And this question then also extends to you in the space where you live and in the space where you worship. So the second one, so that's the level. First level is talking about. The second level is talking with. I'm just going to scroll down through here till I get to that section. Which is you're just going to pick again a couple of the first two in this section. So talking with is towards relationship building, in other words, relational forward movement by active listening. So here's the first question, number 16. Our faith community is willing, prepared, and committing itself to having Indigenous knowledge keepers share with you personally or in your local parish or congregation. Are we doing this? Are we not? Are we somewhere on the way? Number two, or number 17 here, in talking with, I am personally actively engaged in building healing relationships with Indigenous neighbors. How do we individually answer that? And so the whole list is, it's just a very valuable list of questions to consider as we reflect on this theme of our walk of Indigenous reconciliation, which takes us then to the third section, walking with, or having our moccasins on, or being present by engagement in relational activities. And I'm just going to look at number 28, the first one on this list. And there's quite a list of opportunities here. But the question is, I am presently engaged in local First Nations events that are open to the public. So here's some suggestions: going to the longhouse, joining Indigenous circles, talking circles, going to powwows, justice advocacy walks, forums. That's a good one, actually, because in Langley every year we have this walk of reconciliation, and Mennonite churches, the United Church, other Indigenous leadership people, Kwantlen First Nation, are all partnering together in doing an annual walk for reconciliation. So we can say, yes, those of us who've participated in that or some other version of that, So there's certain things. I've actually been at a first salmon ceremony, so that was pretty cool. And our current Indigenous relations staff person, Bridget Finley, was the one who organized a group and invited a group to come and join. Then it talks about elders gatherings, family meals, sweat lodge, naming ceremonies, memorials, adoptions, dedications, advocacy walks or events, casual coffee meetings, dinner, holiday celebrations. You know, these are all just really great relational pieces that mean a lot. And I'll always remember the first time that I was starting to think about what does Indigenous reconciliation look like. I was in a meeting with probably Steve Heinrichs organized it back in the early days with some Indigenous leaders, and we had dinner or a lunch together at a restaurant. And then I just asked the Indigenous elder, so what is the first thing that we should do? And he said, set the table. And I'll always remember, he said, set the table. In other words, if you put some food on the table, we'll be there with you to eat it. And then we'll figure out what's next. So that relational piece is so key. Just going to close this little piece here with number 33. The last one of this list of questions to ask ourselves. I personally, our faith and ministry community actively share stories of engagement to help spur others on in the area of relational bridge building with our Indigenous neighbors regarding relations issues. Where are we at? Are we doing this? Are we not? So that's a question that we can ask ourselves. And you can go through this and use this material. Now, I switched over back to TRC 94 calls to action. And so I hope you can see this as I switched over to it. But I'm just going to read number 49, and then I'll go out of the screen sharing. We call upon all religious denominations and faith groups who have not already done so to repudiate concepts used to justify European sovereignty over Indigenous lands and peoples, such as the doctrine of discovery and terra nullius. So this is something I'm quite thankful and happy to be able to say that Mennonite Church Canada did in 2016, that we repudiated the doctrine of discovery. The question or the challenge we all have is then the need to constantly live into the meaning of this action. Like, what does this action mean that we've repudiated the doctrine of discovery? I just recently, and some of you were at the Mennonite Church Canada gathering in Edmonton. It was just on the heels of the Pope, Pope Francis being there. And so Cheryl Bear, who's an Indigenous artist, musician, and theologian, was one of our speakers at the Mennonite Church Canada gathering. And it was obvious that she was quite broken. She was quite broken. And it was a lot was related to family dynamics of loss, but also the fact that the Pope did not repudiate the doctrine of discovery, that the Pope spoke to individual challenges, individual, mistakes. I'm not sure what word he used, that priests had made, but to talk about the church itself repudiating this doctrine of discovery was not done. And like Cheryl would have said, this isn't exactly her words, but the concept of what she said, this is the foundation on which the genocide was built. And in essence, without repudiating it, the Pope did nothing. Now, I did a little research on the Roman Catholic Church's position on the doctrine of discovery, and there are some people who would say that it has already been abrogated and has no standing, that other edicts soon replaced the doctrine of discovery. In fact, a few years later, there were new edicts that seemed to replace the doctrine of discovery. But when you talk to people like Cheryl Bear, or when you just look at the practices of Indian residential schools and other practices and in our society, how we have treated this place called Turtle Island, the land that we live on, in our practices and in the church's practices, it seems like this doctrine has actually been followed. And so it needs some serious consideration as to what we do, how we live. I want to end, well, not end, I'll have a few words after this, but I want to show a video now of that was put together for the MCBC, Mennonite Church BC annual meeting by our Indigenous Relations Task Group. It's about 4.5 minutes long. And it was shown in the package of videos that were sent around for our annual meeting back in February. But it's a number of speakers that are on our Indigenous Relations Task Group for MCBC. And the interesting piece, and as you hear Johan Funk talking, and as we talk about this, the words, and this is Johan Funk's term that he chose. He said he preferred using the word conciliation rather than reconciliation. And that because he said there never was a proper relationship, and that it's actually a relationship for the first time. It was really stark to actually change the wording to conciliation rather than reconciliation. So watch this video here.
Hello, my name's Henry Krause, and I'm the ministry leader for Mennonite Church British Columbia's Engage in God's World program. Welcome to our backyard. You can see there's fields that are soon going to be full of berries, so if you ever need a bit of a snack, come on down. Depending if I like you or not, I might offer you a berry or two. Engage in God's World ministry is comprised of a number of task groups that are working on our behalf. I'm focusing on the Indigenous Relations Task Group work and the challenge that we as individuals, as churches, and as Mennonite Church BC as a whole are facing in the ongoing work of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action urge us as followers of Jesus to walk in a spirit of humility and love.
Reconciliation is hard work. And it begins by being honest and looking at our own history and ways in which we have not lived fully into the calling that we have received as Jesus' people and have been blind to some of our own shortcomings, recognizing how we too have participated in a mindset of colonization.
Reconciliation is at the center of our Christian vocation, captured by Jesus as love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Mark 12:20-31.
Jesus cuts across the barriers of class, culture, sex, and status to demonstrate God's inclusive love for all of creation. He possesses a thoroughly decolonized mind. For Christians to purposefully and effectively love our neighbors as ourselves requires decolonizing our minds in response to our love for God.
We invite you to join us on this journey of reconciliation by opening ourselves up to the Spirit who gives us hope and strength in this journey. The Indigenous Relations Task Group considers the following 10 statements as a helpful start to decolonize our minds, consistent with Jesus' directive to love our neighbor.
Acknowledge that Mennonites were willing participants in the Canadian colonial project that displaced Indigenous communities. Acknowledge that the colonial project continues today.
Recognize that Mennonite progress and prosperity is largely a product of privileges negotiated with the colonial powers, combined with a measure of resilience, community solidarity, and hard work.
Repent for our colonized minds by pivoting our privilege and resources towards intentional acts of conciliation with our Indigenous neighbors.
Build on the resolutions adopted by Mennonite Church Canada delegate bodies attempting to chart a path for conciliation with Indigenous peoples.
Respect and gratefully acknowledge that Mennonites live on the unceded, traditional, and ancestral lands of Indigenous nations. Applaud Indigenous revitalization of languages, cultures, and spiritualities that strengthen Indigenous identity and the realization of self-determination.
Listen to the Indigenous voices calling for dignity and justice as a precondition for conciliation between equals.
Support Indigenous efforts to assert their rights enshrined in treaties or in defense of sovereignty over unceded traditional territories.
Recognize that Indigenous peoples are of the land and have an intimate relationship to the land, guiding their efforts to preserve its biodiversity.
Resist colonial assumptions of presumptive sovereignty to control the conditions for conciliation through legislative procedures.
The task group believes that the question of who's our neighbor finds resolution in the expression of our love for God and for Jesus, who incarnated a life of decolonized mind. Thank you all, and blessings to you.
So as Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship, as you celebrate your place in God's ministry of reconciliation, it's everyone's responsibility to join God in this mission. And all of us are to be agents of God's reconciliation. As we invite new people to God's reconciliation, we're called to continue to be agents of God's reconciliation here with each other, in particular with our Indigenous neighbors. May our work together as we reach out to our neighbors and friends with God's love. What is an Anabaptist Christian is a document that, as mentioned earlier, written by Palmer Becker, and he describes who we are as Anabaptist Mennonite people, and he summarizes our beliefs in making these three points: that Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives, and reconciliation is the center of our work. As we focus on Indigenous reconciliation, let us do it together, encouraging and challenging each other on the way, and let us simply make it a central rhythm of our lives. Amen.